Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. Of course, I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion, ranked number 13 in Olympic year, and I'm an award-winning writer. So supposedly, and I'm not being conceited, but supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I've always found out the average boxing fan probably knows more. So I'm going to open up the toll-free phone lines for you right now. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, you can call us on the toll-free and, you know, drop your opinion, say what you want. Bottom line is, last night, of course, 12 rounds of boxing, heavyweight boxing, all Mexican-American boxing. Andy Ruiz taking a unanimous nod after getting off the deck in round number two against Chris Arreola. A bit of controversy, not in the actual winner, but in the scoring itself. Some people thought these scores were a little bit wide. And Mr. Arreola will talk about that in depth after the break. Of course, him and Andy Ruiz, of course, they're pals. I mean, it was no knock on Ruiz, was a knock on the judges. We'll see if that's just. We'll talk with Larry Merchant today. We'll take that back. We're going to step in time. We'll bring in Larry today, but we'll step back in time with Genaro Hernandez. Of course, the anniversary of his death is coming up in a couple of months. Of course, man, he was my partner. There's no doubt about it. Of course, he was on the show like 48 hours before he passed away. And we'll also celebrate the life of Nick Charles. Of course, the Showtime broadcaster, the ESPN. I did everything. Of course, he was Mr. CNN with all that beautiful hair before he got sick. Bottom line is, we're going to talk about history and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. After the break, we'll hear from Arreola and Ruiz, and of course, bringing in the godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC Boxing TV, live on stream, twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Did I get that out? Yeah. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, a Sports Byline production. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We're talking boxing MMA today, only on Sports Byline.
He is Mexican. He's proud to be Mexican.
The Hall of Famer, Bob Arum, of course, Mr. Top Rank. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the show. Of course, he is part of the Tyson Fury team. They seem to not be able to close this deal with Anthony Joshua. Of course, a big fight over in the Mideast, allegedly. It's been signed 10 times. We'll talk about that in depth a little bit later. Last night, heavyweights win a battle. Of course, pay-per-view. I didn't buy it. Won't spend 55 or 60 bucks to watch this card. But I give them props. They did put it on pay-per-view. Of course, it was an entertaining fight. I'm talking about Chris Arreola. Of course, 38 years old now. He lost. I mean, it was sort of expected. He was like in some sports books, he was like a 20-1 underdog. I kid you not. I mean, if you wanted to bet on Arreola, you only got 10-1. But if you wanted to bet the other way, it was 20. Bottom line is, he lost on these scorecards, 118-109, 118-109, and 117-110. Now, while he probably doesn't doubt to the fact he lost, he does doubt the scores. I mean, because in the second round, he knocked Ruiz down, and then he got him up again, and he stumbled him again. So I'm saying to myself, you know, technically, that's probably a 10-7 round. I mean, there wasn't two knockdowns involved, but he stunned him again and made him wobble, and he had to take a couple backward steps, that kind of good stuff. So it could have been a 10-7 round. Anyway, definitely a 10-8 round without a doubt. So I guess the judges, that's all they gave Mr. Arreola, was that one round, because with 118-109, 118-109, it means, like, you know, two rounds. They gave him that one round. That was it. 108 would have been a shutout. So they gave him that one round. Bottom line is, he won more than in one round, and I think I'll talk about that in depth. Bottom line is, let's hear both these guys post-fight.
You know, Chris Arreola, he's a veteran. He's a hard puncher, and, you know, we did what we had to do. We won the victory, but you remember, I was low to the lowest, and I have to come back to the ladders. Yep, keep booing, bro. It's all good. But like I said, we did what we got to do, and thanks to God that we got this victory, and now to the next.
It was an incredible battle. It started a little adverse for you in terms of the knockdown. Did he have you hurt in those early rounds?
Yeah, he got me with a good, clean right hand. I dropped my hand a little bit. I was too overconfident, but, you know, tops off to Chris Adriola. He got me with a good one, but I kept going and I kept going. And you know what? We got the victory.
It's not as though you haven't been there before and come back. So how much did that experience that you've had in that Joshua fight help you to persevere in this fight?
Helped a lot, you know, but I felt a little rust, and I know other fighters could relate to that, but, you know, we did what we had to do, and we got the victory. But if he wants to run it back, we can run it back. We can have Chris Arreola and Ruiz, too.
In terms of the championship rounds, it seemed as though in the eighth round you kind of found your rhythm. What adjustments did you make in the middle ground of this fight?
Just as trying to counterpunch and work the body. You know, we slowed him down a little bit, but I felt a little rusty, but, you know, on to the next.
You said you'd like to run this back. Is that what you want next?
If the promoter wants that and if the fans wants that, we can run it again right here.
Congratulations on a great win. I want to talk to Chris Arreola really quick, because would you like to run this one back? I know you two have a lot of mutual respect for one another.
Absolutely, man. You know what? I respect the judges, but today I always said that beauty's in the eye of the beholder. They like a butter face. Everything's pretty but their face. Honestly, man, did he win? Fine. But don't tell me you're only going to give me 2-3 rounds. That. I'm going to be like Dr. Dre. All y'all can...
I have to ask you about your shoulder. I just saw Jack Reese come to you. We saw it flinch a couple of different rounds. What's the story with the shoulder? Was it bothering you?
Nah, you know what? I got hit a couple times. One time in the shoulder, you kind of threw it off. But it ain't no big deal. It's part of boxing, man. In all honesty, we can run this back and let's do it again, man. Because look at me. Look at my face. I'm still good. I'm still ugly, but I'm still good.
Chris Arreola talking a good game afterwards. Of course, it was a pretty good fight. 12 rounds, a heavyweight competitive fight for 12 rounds, of course, but it was on pay-per-view, and I'm against paying for fights on pay-per-view that are not pay-per-view worthy. Now, a guy that knows a little bit about pay-per-view is my next guest. Of course, he's a retired HBO godfather, Mr. HBO himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. And how are you this morning, sir? And how's the godmama?
We're doing good, better. Things opening up. I went to a pre-fight dinner the other night. Hung out with some of my old homies, and here we are.
Okay. So you had was there a lot of people at this boxing meeting? We've got one the second Friday of May, and I'm going to attend. So like they're getting about 25 or 30 people. They used to get about 70.
I don't know. That's above my pay grade.
Okay.
But apparently it was an entertaining fight. I thought Arreola coming in as light as he did was underplayed compared to what Ruiz did for himself, and that's why he was able to give at his age, a strong performance against a very strong opponent.
Strong, and of course, coming in at 250, and everybody's like lauding the fact that he lost all this weight. Still doesn't look like the most well-conditioned athlete in the world. Should he look well? Is that part of the makeup that he should look well-conditioned?
I think that if you're trying to sell yourself, which a fighter is, that, it's a pretty good idea to look like a fighter. And maybe if people would fall in love with a roly-poly character, but it's a better idea to look like the role you're in.
Good point. Of course, we're talking with, of course, the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, Chris Arreola. A little upset at the scoring last night. And Larry, you and I have talked about this before. It really doesn't matter the score. It really matters who wins. But I do understand his complaint here because, you know, he definitely won more than one round and he knocked him down in one round. And for the judges to only give him.
You know, Pedro, uh-huh. I think Ruiz was the house fighter in this case.
Obviously.
Everybody was rooting for Ruiz in the business. Because he did have a piece or of the heavyweight championship for a brief time, mm-hmm. but he showed he has some, you know, he's a better fighter than he looked, certainly at that time when he was weighing up in the 280s. But he made a remark somewhere along the way how he was on his way to going down to 245 maybe. And it's an and I think that he could be talked into the fact that had he not been in shape, he might not have survived the knockdown. He might not have had so much energy late in the fight. So hopefully he can take off another 5 or 10 pounds, look a little bit more like the role he has in life as a top heavyweight. And I'm happy it was a competitive fight. I was unhappy with the fact that the Los Angeles Times did not have a pre-fight article and did not have a reporter covering the event. They took the wire service report of the event.
Don't get mad at me for saying this, because I come from the days of all the wire services, you two too, but thank God there was a wire service to cover it.
Okay, I agree, but the fact that two
ranked
Mexican-American heavyweights who have fought around here and are known around here, that there was no pre-fight story in the L.A. Times, no post-fight story by one of their reporters, could be a staggering blow to the game.
Yeah, I understand that, but, you know, the L.A. Times hasn't been, I can't remember, Earl Gutsky, I think, was the L.A. Times boxing writer, the guy that used to give me all kinds
yep.
of play. Was that the guy who used to give me all kinds of play? And I got play in that column when I was doing radio and TV down there. He was a good guy.
Well, I'm not asking them. You know, today isn't 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But this is an event that should have been required writing and reading in the L.A. Times.
Especially considering they were both Mexican-American heavyweights. Larry Merch is our guest. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. We come back from the break. I'm going to ask the Godfather about the origin of HBO boxing. Of course, the man. Was he the brains behind it? Ross Greenberg. That and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If it's necessary, I'll go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself? I feel
good. Godfather of Soul, the retired HBO Godfather line, of course, from Southern California, City of Angels. Larry, the origin of HBO boxing, was it Ross Greenberg by himself that came up with this idea, and were you working for HBO before they did boxing?
No. I was called in on a fight-by-fight basis before we and they understood that there was a yawning gap. The networks were giving up on boxing. Marvin Hagler had fought for us and was instrumental in showing the boxing world that there was some big bucks available at HBO, and it was a place to go and sell your merchandise. So, no, but I don't think it was Ross Greenberg. Ross was our executive producer, and he was instrumental in putting together the broadcast teams and new ways of showing price fights and so on. But Michael Fuchs, who was the first head of HBO, literally invented its style, and Seth Abraham were crucial in marketing and so on and so forth. So it was a corporate effort, let's put it that way.
Okay. And Seth Abraham, you know, of course, he's a guy that I was sort of blown away by at one time because I didn't know what a minch meant. And he called me a minch before the Hamed Barrera fight, and I went back to my hotel room. I didn't know what it was. I don't think we had the internet back then, but I had to get somebody. I had a Jewish friend of mine tell me, Pete, it's a good thing. I said, okay, but I didn't know. So I walked away thinking, was he happy with me or was he not happy with me? Anyway, he was a class act. Is he living in Australia? Is that what you told me?
Who?
Seth Abraham?
No, he lives on the Upper East Side of New York, and we're still in constant contact.
What is constant contact? Is he in the sports still? Is he in the boxing? He used to play tennis. He still play tennis?
He still plays a lot of tennis, several times a week.
Mm-hmm.
He's always a guy who's maintained his conditioning. He's got a lovely home and wife, Lynn,
mm-hmm.
and some grandchildren. And he spends summers on a farm north of the city, so he's doing pretty good for himself.
Well, that's good. He left HBO and went to Madison Square Garden, I believe, and took over that entire arena. When you take over Madison Square Garden, what does that mean? You're just taking over like you're the guy taking care of the arena. What does that mean when he was president of Madison Square Garden?
You know, I don't know. I think he
because they had a TV network,
honcho, which means that he was oversaw the Knicks and the Rangers,
mm-hmm.
whose home court and ice the Garden was, and I don't know whether he was responsible for hiring coaches and firing general managers or any of that stuff, but. They were also rebuilding the Garden, I think. So he was an executive producer, and he did produce great things at HBO.
No doubt about that. Talking about Ross Greenberg, and of course I confused him for...
No, talking about Seth Abraham.
Exactly, and I was about to say they were talking about Seth Abraham, and I confused him with Ross Greenberg not once but twice. Thank you for correcting me, sir. I'm getting old. Can
okay,
you believe
thank
that?
You for taking it well.
You know, bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, Godfather Larry Merch is on the line, coming to us from Southern California. Larry, this Anthony Joshua Tyson Fury fight, they've been talking about it for months. They've went to training camp two different times and broke training camp two different times. Is this going to happen?
It's hard to see how it won't happen, given the amount of money it's going to generate. You know, maybe going to the Middle East. Hopefully it would happen at Wembley, but I can't imagine that it won't happen.
Is the Middle East going to be able to support the fight by itself? Do you think people want to go to the Middle East to see a fight? Do you think they would go over there for a sporting event? I would be a slight bit hesitant.
Well, I can understand that, but in particular in Dubai, they've put up a lot of front money to create that area of the Middle East as a tourist attraction. That they're the good guys, not the bad guys, and that you're safe there.
Mm.
They've had several fights already, and. I imagine they would bid pretty high to get that fight.
Yeah, Godfather, I spent 11 days in Dubai, and all I saw was hookers and burkas. That's all, and I didn't engage in the hookers. I mean, that's what you saw.
How long ago was that, Pedro?
I guess about 2012.
Yeah, well,
Godfather, you remember that trip I went over there and I got back to the airport. My airline ticket wasn't paid for after I checked it and it was full. It was paid for before I left San Francisco. When I got to the airport in Dubai, it wasn't paid for. So I had to pay $1,800 to get on a plane to come home. And then, of course, yeah. And the check that I got for 12 grand, you don't think that, you don't think that check didn't bounce, do you?
Well, when you go abroad, you better be, have some guarantees up front.
Well, I didn't have the HBO banner behind me or anything like that. I was just an independent guy on my own.
But on the other hand, here you are talking about it all these years later.
Well, yeah, but good Lord, that was a bad trip. I mean, to lose 15 grand on a trip where you're supposed to like make 15 grand and you end up losing 15 grand, it's just not a good thing. Anyway, on to another subject. You talked about Marvin Hagler, his recent passing. Have they ever attributed it to anything in particular? I heard he had cancer, but they're not saying anything. Do you know?
Well, I've heard that they're saying now it was a heart attack.
Okay.
Marvin was wound very tight.
Ooh, the tightest.
And he was angry at the way the gods of the boxing universe didn't seem to shine on him, and that he had to work harder than anybody else to get where he got. He went out and fought the puncher Hearns like a puncher in the best fight of that era. He went out and tried to outbox Sugar Ray Leonard, a big mistake. And blew that fight, and he was wound pretty tight. But you would think his end came the way we all hope prize fighters would end their careers. He lost to Leonard. He was offered $10 million or more for a rematch. It was such a big event, and he just said, "That's it. I'm gone." So it's a little mysterious, as you suggest, and disturbing that at the age of 66, a guy who played by the rules and fought by the rules should go that quickly.
But you can understand his bitterness. I mean, I could 50-something fights before he even got a world title shot.
Well, you're right. And he was bitter, but the bitterness
came back.
Turned the bitterness into aspiration, and that he wasn't going to let those gods let him down. He was going to win them over, and he did.
He overly respected Duran, lost to Leonard, and had the war with Hearns, and of course the war with Mugabe. Can we say that he made his bones basically on the smaller guys?
Well, three of those guys are smaller guys, but they were great fighters who beat other fighters in that weight class. But maybe he did, but he did it in style, and you add to that the fact that every one of his fights was fought at middleweight, starting when he was in his early 20s into his mid-30s. He never fought in another division, which is testimony to his
dedication.
Yes, and that he made it happen, but I don't know that it was as joyful a ride as it has been for other outstanding fighters.
Godfather, with that, I say kiss the God Mama. We'll talk next week. Have a great week, sir.
You too, Pedro.
Retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Hall of Fame, more honored to have him each and every week. I'm talking about Mr. Larry Merchant right here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC. The World baby, Boxing baby, Council.
Baby, I got the feeling.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
The great Gennaro Hernandez, may he rest in peace, passed away June 7, 2011. Of course, a two-division champion, born May 10, 1966. El Chicanito, he's got a whole bunch of nicknames. The bottom line is he was such a classy guy. It was just so hard for him to pass because, you know, he did that radio interview with me like a month before he passed. And, of course, he did the last interview with me like 2 days before he passed. And that was like so painful. I'm crying on the air. Thank God that wasn't on video. I'm crying on the air. And he's having a hard time telling, you know, it's time for him to check out. And he said nobody should have to die this way. And this, and he was dying from some form of lung cancer and upper respiratory cancer. Anyway, bottom line is he was really, really a great guy. May he rest in peace, the great Gennaro Hernandez. Now, let's talk about some boxing results. Of course, the WBA light heavyweight title, Dimitri Bivol, of course, he was a winner and took on a guy that wasn't considered the world's greatest fighter. Mr. Richards, of course, came in and got stopped. Take the main event, of course, over there across the pond was a heavyweight contest, of course, involving Joseph Parker, the former WBO title holder, 29-2, now 21 KOs. Of course, a 12-round split decision winner over Derek Chisora, now 32-11 with 23 KOs. I mean, talk about long teeth, long, long, long in the teeth. That's for Chisora. One judge had it 115-113 for Chisora. The other judges had it 116-111 and 115-113 for Parker. Parker was a house fighter. No surprise there. But, you know, it happens. Anyway, Dimitri Bivol, the undefeated WBA light heavyweight title holder, now 18-0, 11 KOs, a successful winner by a 12-round unanimous win over Craig Richards, now 16-2, one draw and 9 KOs on Saturday night, of course, at the O2 Arena, Manchester, the UK. Pretty good fight, no doubt about that, but, you know, he's not the most entertaining guy in the world. Speaking of entertaining, I thought this women's fight was going to live up to the hype. Bottom line is, undisputed world lightweight champion, talk about Katie Taylor, 18-0, now 6 KOs, barely held on to her WBA, WBC, IBF, and WBO titles, 135 pounds, against former amateur rival Natasha Jones. Jonas came in at 9-1 with a draw and 7 KOs, and it was a close decision, 96-94, 96-95, 96-95. Bottom line is, she was lucky to get that call, no doubt about that. But then again, you know, you do it again. You run it back again, just like you want to run. I think that the Ruiz-Areola fight, they should run that back again. And not because I think the Areola is going to win or he's going to do better or anything like that. He may do better. I mean, it'll just be another tune-up fight for Andy Ruiz. Andy needs to take off some more weight. He needs to get in better shape. People say, oh, man, you know, he came down. Yeah, he's not there yet. He's not there yet. He's not ready to challenge the upper echelon of the heavyweight division yet. He needs another fight with a guy like Chris Areola to, get himself together, drop another 15, 20 pounds. He's still fat, and whether he's, you know, like Larry Merchant talked about a little earlier, how guys got to look the part. He doesn't look the part at all, and I wish him the best of luck, but, you know, God knows if he even takes a shot that well. He took that shot to the top of the head last night, and he got dropped, and then he got, you know, it wasn't a great punch, didn't have a whole lot of leverage on it. It was like a halfway punch like that. And then, of course, he got staggered a little bit later in the round. I mean, staggered big time, and yet, you know, they thought he won by 118, 1-10. So I don't know about those judges. Anyway, bottom line is, but last week, of course, Emmanuel Navarrete, the top-ranked Mexican in the entire world, except for Canelo Alvarez, of course, he's going to go 1 week from last night. I'm talking about Canelo. Of course, the once-beaten fighter lost that decision to Floyd Mayweather back in 2013. Hasn't lost since then. Had that close fight with Gennady Golovkin. Beat him in the rematch, no doubt about that. But there's no controversy as far as the fights that Canelo's taken part in. Of course, that WBO light heavyweight title fight when he knocked out Sergey Kovalev, moved up in weight, sort of proved his bones right there that he had it, because Kovalev was not a shot fighter at that point in time, and Kovalev's still rocking and rolling in the 175-pound division. But, of course, Canelo back at 168, taking on undefeated Billy Joe Saunders. Who is he? He's a gypsy. A gypsy from the UK, yeah. Much like Tyson Fury. Remember those guys? I told you they drive around the country in buses and mobile homes. And that kind of stuff. They call themselves the Travelers. And Tyson Fury has a house, but the Travelers travel. And they travel from town to town, city to city, and that kind of stuff all throughout Europe, basically through on a bus or a mobile home. Think about that. Living, it's like gypsies. That's what they do here in the United States. Gypsies used to go from state to state, and, like, you know, they would pull off. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble saying this. No, I won't. I'll say it this way. Gypsies have been known an American gypsy who's been known to pull off criminal acts in one state and then move on to the next state and move on to the next state and move on to the next state. As an SF policeman, I used to watch him con people out of money, telling them fortunes and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's sort of cool when you can tell somebody's fortune and get a couple bucks for it and this and that, like as a tourist and that kind of stuff. But when you start telling people that, you know, they got to give you lots of money and come see you again and again and again. And that's what this was all about. It was sort of like when these psychics were like crack dealers. They would give people a little bit of stuff that you knew that they knew. In other words, real obvious stuff like, you're a blonde. Your mother was a blonde? You know, stuff like that, right? And they suck people in. And people would give them the money. Of course, I took a couple cases as a cop, two reports, in fact, from people that got stiffed by gypsies. Imagine that, filing a police report after you got conned by gypsies. Straight shame on you. Anyway, Billy Joe Saunders, undefeated, 168-pound WBO champion, of course, a 5-1 underdog. Is he really that big of an underdog? Of course, he's the natural super middleweight. He's never lost a fight. He's had some issues outside of the ring. Of course, his issues with women, his issues with crack addicts. He offered some crack addicts some money, and he's a bit of a piece of work. But then again, boxers don't have to be scholars, road scholars, and good old guys, you know, squire boys outside of the ring. Boxing is boxing. We appreciate them for what they do inside the ring. Yeah, what they do outside the ring is important. I mean, you shouldn't be going around raping people and beating people up and things like that. I understand that. But, you know, boxers seem to, when the police get called, if they find out you boxed, shame on you. I mean, because they come ready to fight. I remember one time, some girl called the police on me, and, you know, we were arguing this and that, and she called the police and she goes, yeah, he's a boxer. And I was, oh no, that wasn't too cool to say that. So when they came, I was standing in front of the house. I knew better. I was standing with, you know, roommate. I was standing right in front of the house, man, because I knew better, because that's not the thing you want to tell the police. He's a boxer. Oh no, don't tell him that. Anyway, they'd have lit me up. They were the Brisbane, California Police Department. Anybody knows anything about Brisbane, California knows that's not the place you want to be if you're a person of color. I'm sorry, it's just the truth. It's right outside of San Francisco, but it's like the most redneck place you can ever imagine. Mike Carroll got out of Brisbane. He used to have Carroll's Meats in Brisbane, California. He got out of there. It was just too much redneck for him. Of course, he's in San Bruno, California, and doing his thing. Of course, a 5-1 favorite, Canelo Alvarez, lost that one fight, as I said, 2013, to Floyd Mayweather. Speaking of Floyd Mayweather, they're going to take on Logan Paul. Who the hell is Logan Paul? Some guy that's had one fight. I think he's lost to one fight. He fights at cruiserweight. It means he's going to be like 199, around 200 pounds. And Floyd's going to come in like 150 pounds. And Floyd's going to fight this guy, I guess, the weekend of June 5th. And, of course, that's the same weekend that Teofimo Lopez is going to fight the kid from George Calabrasas, I believe. Calabrasas, of course, from Australia. Of course, they're going to hook it up for the World Lightweight Championship. TikTok and is doing one card, and I think the other card is going to be done by Triller. So the bottom line is the high-tech people are moving into the world of boxing, but only boxing for one night. In other words, like the Teofimo Lopez fight is a real fight. The Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul or Jake Paul, listen, he should fight. You want to make this thing interesting? Floyd, you want to make this interesting? You want to make it so I'm going to want to tune in? Fight both those guys at the same time. That would make me want to tune in and throw you some money. If you all fought both those guys, I'm not talking about one guy being on the stool or one guy being in the corner. I'm talking about both those guys with four hands. You only prove you're a super guy. You beat the guys with four hands, because outside of that, man, come on. This is a ripoff of boxing. It just is. I mean, you've always been a whore. There's no doubt about that. I know you're the biggest whore in all of boxing. There's no doubt about this. Just like Dana White's the biggest pimp in all of MMA, if not combat sports. But you are the biggest whore, and you've been the best paid. There's no doubt about that. So you've, some people think you deserve that type of money. I don't. I don't think you ever put out as far as entertainment is concerned. You know what? You've got to show up and entertain people. I mean, some people got, whoa, did you see he boxed 12 rounds against Marco Medina and guys like that? Medina gave him a good fight. Jose Luis Ramirez might have beat him in that first fight, or no, Castillo might have beat him in that first fight. So, you know, I mean, he had a couple of shaky fights, but he's had some stellar performances, but they're all as a boxer, not as a fighter. And there's a difference. You know, Ray Leonard told me one time, we're sitting in a hot tub in West Palm Beach, Florida, comparing our ankles. We both had skinny ankles at the time. And I said to him, Ray, what's the difference between a good fighter and a great fighter? And he thought about it for a second. He looked at me and said, Pedro, a great fighter is willing to gamble. You got to be willing to gamble for greatness. And you got to be willing to gamble for success. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you just have to. You have to be put it on the line there. And Ray put it on the line. Floyd Mayweather never really put it on the line. Then again, you look at the residual effects that his uncle,
the late Roger Mayweather had, and the fact that he died punch drunk and, I mean, of, dementia and that kind of good stuff. I mean, he was in bad shape. There's no doubt about that. And they were the residual effects of boxing for the most part. I know he liked to drink his alcohol and things like that. I'm not saying that he was a dopehead or an alcoholic, but Roger did party a little bit down there, and he lived in Sin City, Las Vegas for like a long, long time. But after, you know, he retired, he and I would hang out and go to fights afterwards. It was sort of cool. I remember one night we saw Anthony Spilotro in the mid, I guess it was about 1983, 84 at the Stardust Hotel. Of course, he was the guy that Joe Pesci played in the movie Goodfellas. And I was with Roger Mayweather, and I saw him there. You don't want to mess with that guy. Jim Hunter messed with him. Jim Hunter was working for Don King Productions, and he sat in Tony Spilotro's. They called him the Ant. He was the mafia king of Las Vegas. There's no doubt about it. They sent him out from the Chicago mob to run Las Vegas, okay? So anyway, he went to the bathroom, and Jim Hunter jumped in his stool at the bar, and the bartender was trying to tell him, hey, man, leave. Get out of the chair. Get out of the chair. He wouldn't get out of the chair. He was, like, being stubborn. And some guy came up and tapped him from behind, and he ended up getting up and moving. And it's a good thing he did, because if he didn't, Jim Hunter would have never lived another day. I mean, Anthony Spilotro would have killed him. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Now, back to the fight at hand. Billy Joe Saunders. Will he go 12 rounds? In all likelihood, he probably will. Will he lose in 12 rounds? In all likelihood, I think he will. I think Canelo's a 4-1 favorite for a reason. I think he's the more disciplined of the two. I think he'll throw punches in bunches. I think he'll move it upstairs to the head and downstairs to the body. I think he'll mix his punches up. And the fact that he is the complete fighter right now, say what you want about him, man, but that team Eddie Reynoso, the father and the son, they're getting their guys together. I mean, yeah, they had a little rough time with Andy Ruiz last night, but then again, Andy Ruiz is really not all that much. I mean, he's just a big guy, had a good amateur record. I'm not saying he isn't a good fighter, but he'll never be a great fighter. I mean, you'll never associate greatness with Andy Ruiz. I don't care what you say. Now, am I going to call him Anti-Luis like I used to? No, I won't go that far, but he's got to lose another 10, 15 pounds to be competitive. Does he come back and fight Areola a second time? I think that'd be the smart move to do. Of course, the promoters will say, well, that's going to like stymie his ascent by 6 months. But it'll give him 6 months to get back in shape a little bit better, lose some more weight, and he'll take on Areola one more time. And probably he'll beat Areola more decisively this time around and show that he is the superior of the two guys. Because getting booed by that crowd last night, that couldn't have been good. That just, I mean, both these guys, Mexican-Americans, and the crowd was just eating them up last night. Speaking of the crowd, before we go to the break, I want to admonish the crowd. The fight fans in Carson, California last night for fighting in the crowd. I mean, I saw some of the beefs that they had on YouTube and this and that. Listen, this is not the way boxing comes back. It doesn't come back with fights in the stands and things like that, because guess what? There won't be big fights. There just won't be. If people get scared to put on fights, and you know people get scared nowadays, Black Lives Matter, whoa, get all freaked out. This and that. Well, Brown Lives Matter too, okay? And last night, the brown guys were acting fools. I saw films of them. So don't be acting a fool. This is you're representative of your community, especially because everybody's got a phone. So if you get up and do something stupid in the Carson Arena and slug some guy and you take off your shirt and you're a big fat guy, come on, man. I mean, that guy was on YouTube like for 300,000 or 400,000 views last night. Getting lit up on YouTube. Not the thing to do. You don't gotta be a dummy to get beat up on YouTube. You don't be fighting in the stands. Boxers, they do the fighting. That's why you go to a boxing match, to watch people box. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
And to you, Pedro, I hope I see you ringside sooner than later, buddy.
The great Nick Charles. Man, do I miss that guy. Of course, Mr. CNN, no doubt about that. Died at the age of 64, of course, born in 1946, died in 2011, June 25th, 2011. He was voted the sexiest sportscaster in America, like several years in a row, by the U.S. Television Fan Association. Of course, he and George Tavala won a couple of awards together for their broadcasting from the the Boxing Writers Association back in 2010. He was just a classy guy, and I remember him so much. Of course, in 2009, he was diagnosed with bladder cancer, and of course, he came on this show and he talked about, you know, spending all that money that he had. So he said he was spending like, was it 30 grand a pop, Cuddy? It was 30 grand a shot. He was getting these treatments once a week. He was paying 30 grand a week to get these treatments. $30,000 a week. And he talked about having health care, and without his health care, his wife's health care, he wouldn't be able to get that. So he was able to live like a year and a half or 2 years longer. But the bottom line is, 30 grand a shot and 30 grand a week, how many of us can afford 30 grand a week? That's why medical care, here we go, health care should be a right for everybody, not just a right for the rich in this country. No doubt about that. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. May he rest in peace. Of course, we also recognize Gennaro Hernandez. Of course, Gennaro passed away. Man, that was tough for me. You know, when Gennaro went, he was on the show like, as I said, 24 or 48 hours before his passing, and he was talking like this, and it was really, really bad, and I'm crying, this and that, and there are people here in the studio, and there were the producer in the other room, he's trying to put it together, everybody's trying to put this together, but that was probably, without a doubt, the heaviest moment in 38 years of radio, almost 39 years of radio. I think Gennaro Hernandez coming on 48 hours before his passing, and you could tell he was dying. There was absolutely no doubt about it. You knew it. Death was on the phone. That was probably the most telling moment in Ring Talk history, as far as my personal feelings were concerned. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Of course, we'll be live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Hour number two, we'll bring in Kenny Rainford. We'll hear from Muhammad Ali. We'll have some fun. Ali goes one-on-one with some chicks, a whole lot of women from the U.K., and Muhammad Ali in hour number two. Plus, Kenny Rainford from the U.K. as well. Of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide comes to you after the news, live both on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, and Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA. Stay tuned. Hour number two after the news.